coming soon. Now you dear old man, whisper what you bring to me. Tell me if you can. When the clock is striking 12 and I'm sound asleep, down the chimney broad and black, with your back to free, all the stockings you will find hanging in the row, mine will be the shortest one, you'll be sure to know.
Johnny wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a sled,
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. This, of course, is our pre-Christmas program for December the 13th. Our actual Christmas program is going to be on the 20th, just so in a week's time. Now, every year, our pre-Christmas program, we play a lot more music and do a lot less talking. And, of course, today is no different. It is really no different at all. So sit back, and I hope that you all have a very good time with us today. We heard at the top of the program the Ray Conniff Singers from a classic album called Ray Conniff and the Ray Conniff Singers. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And these were tracks that were recorded for a television special in the 1960s. And we're going to have another selection from it right now. Let it snow, let it snow. Count your blessings, and we wish you a Merry Christmas. The Ray Conniff Singers.
Getting now that we're so happy, we would like to share our joy.
The Swingle Singers with a Christmas melody, and before that, Ray Conniff and his singers from the album We Wish You a Merry Christmas, which are tracks taken from a television special done way back in the 1960s. Well, you are listening to Happy Station coming to you from PCJ Radio International, and as I announced earlier at the beginning of the program, and also leading up to it, over the past few weeks, this is our pre-Christmas program. Our regular one is going to be on December the 20th. Now, you're saying to yourself, wait, December the 20th, shouldn't it be closer to the date? Well, this year, the problem is, Christmas falls on the Friday, which is of course the 25th. So we're doing it a week in advance. Now you're saying to yourself, what do we have planned then for the 27th? Well, tune in for that, because we do have something very special for that program as well. Now, as I promised, today there's going to be a lot more music and a lot less talking. Yes, a lot less talking indeed. Burl Ives, Have a Holly, Jolly Christmas.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
All right, you chipmunks, ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin. Alvin. Get ready. That was very good, Simon.
Naturally.
Very good, Theodore. Alvin, you were a little flat. Watch it, Alvin. Alvin.
Where is boy child?
Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. I hope you had fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young,
a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear.
So strong, the rich and the poor ones, the road is so long, and so happy Christmas.
John Lennon, and a well-known Christmas song that is being, of course, played at many radio stations around the world at this exact very time. Now, every year, when I'm looking for new Christmas material, there's actually some that does come up every now and again. A lot of today's newer artists do record versions of some of the standards. But I wonder if they will ever be classics, like the next one that we're going to take a listen to now. It's the song Sleigh Ride, and was done by many, many singers, including Johnny Mathis. Andy Williams also had a big hit with it, Perry Como, Frank Sinatra, and many others. But one of my favorite renditions of the song is by Steve and Edie. Yeah, Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, from the album That Holiday Feeling and Sleigh Ride.
Okay, Edie, y'all set?
All set.
Let's go.
Okay. Look out! Look out!
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too.
Ting, tingling too.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Together with you.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you who.
They're calling you who.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Together with you. Giddy up, Giddy-up, giddy-up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow.
Giddy-up, 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 it's grand. Just holding your hand.
We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland.
Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy and cozy are we.
Nice and cozy are we.
We're snuggled up together like birds of a feather should be.
That's how it should be.
Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus or two.
Sing a chorus or two.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Together with you.
There's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray. It'll be the perfect ending of a perfect day.
We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop at the fireplace while we watch the chestnuts pop.
Pop, pop, pop. There's a happy feeling nothing in the world can buy when they pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie.
It'll nearly be like a picture print of Courier and I.
These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives. Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too.
Ting, tingling too.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Together with you.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you who.
They're calling you who.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Together with you.
Sleigh ride,
sleigh ride.
Different renditions of the classic Sleigh Ride. First, we heard Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet from the album That Holiday Feeling with, of course, Sleigh Ride. And then we heard a, well, kind of a surfing version that was performed by The Ventures from an unusual album that's a little bit difficult to find now. It's called The Ventures on Christmas. And the album came out under a different title in some markets. The version of the album that I have is called Surfing Christmas. Yes, Surfing Christmas. And by the way, that, of course, has nothing to do with the internet. The surfers. Yes, surfers celebrating Christmas. I suppose they do. I suppose they do. The Ventures, of course, with their rendition of Sleigh Ride. If you want to get in touch with us, please do so. Our email address I will give out later on in the program. Now, I did talk about Andy Williams, so we're going to have a little bit of Andy Williams next. Now, this, of course, is a very special time around the world in many capitals. Not just in the traditional capitals like New York or Washington or Toronto or London or Paris or Berlin, but even here in the Far East, in places like Tokyo. Yes, there's a lot of Christmas decorations in Tokyo at the moment. Same with Seoul in South Korea, Beijing and Shanghai, and of course here in Taiwan. It is a wonderful time of the year. That sounds like a segue to a song. Well, it is Andy Williams.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
Snow. Thank you. comes this time each year. Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. And a real famous cat all dressed up in red, and he spends the whole year working out in his sled. It's the little Saint Nick. Then we call little Saint Nick, but she'll walk a toboggan with a four-speed stick. She's candy apple red with a ski for a wheel, and when Santa hits the gas, man, just watch her feel. It's the little Saint Nick,
little Saint Nick.
It's the little Saint Nick,
little Saint Nick. Run, run, reindeer. Run, run.
No one. And hauling through the snow at a frightening speed, with a half a dozen deer with a Rudy to lead. He's gotta wear his goggles, cause the snow really flies, and he's cruising every path with a little surprise. It's the little Saint Nick. Christmas comes this time each year.
Little Saint Nick. And now time for a Christmas program that we presented last year, A Very White Christmas, read by Neville Gray, from 1972. From Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System.
Let me take you back in time, back towards the end of the 16th century, to the year 1596. The scene is Amsterdam. The Dam Square was there all right, but hippies were yet a long way out of sight, and the Royal Palace had not yet been built. The old church was there, its bells chiming out the tunes of the hour. I went there again yesterday just to sample one of those tunes, as they're played nowadays. It was pretty cold as I took my tape recorder to the old church square, now part of Amsterdam's red light district, where the girls sit in the windows of quaint little houses, bathing in the soft glow of rosy lampshades and waiting for the odd, lonely customer out for a good time. All right, all right. The ditties of those years were different from today's. Amsterdam was a small trading town built on the banks of an estuary called, as it's called today, the A. People must have celebrated Christmas in much the same manner as they do today, in churches that were more divided than ever as the great conflict between the old Roman Catholic faith and the Reformation was still raging on with unabated bitterness. Amsterdam was ruled by its city fathers, the city corporation which held its sessions at the old town hall. Later, a new town hall was built in Dam Square, where it has since changed its function into that of Amsterdam's famous royal palace. And the wise fathers of Amsterdam, a city which rapidly developed into a republic within the Republic of the Netherlands, as the Venice of the North, scanned the oceans in search of new treasures. The globe of the world took on a magical significance in the eyes of these city rulers, and they wondered if, perhaps, some shorter seaway could be found to the distant oriental realms of China and Japan, those legendary empires traversed on foot by the great Venetian explorer Marco Polo. Marco Polo travelled by land, but should not the Arctic Ocean offer a much more convenient and shorter route?
Attention, please. Will all passengers for flight KL47 to Tokyo go to gate number B5? Please keep your boarding cards available.
To Tokyo, across the North Pole, just like that. How dead easy it's all become today in the 1970s. Board a taxi to the airport, then board a plane which takes you up and across the vast expanse of polar ice and snow to land you in the magic realm of Cathay, which we now call Japan. It's a cinch today, but back in 1596... In the year of our Lord and Saviour, 1596, two ships left the port of Amsterdam and set sail for the distant north. One ship, commanded by Captain Jan Cornelisz Rijk, lost its way at an early stage of the voyage and turned back. But the other, piloted by Jacob van Heemskerk and carrying a crew of 15 and a well-known cartographer, Willem Barents, got stuck in the ice of the Arctic Ocean. The 17 men were forced to spend the long Arctic night on the island of Nova Zembla, a place of perennial dusk where man had scarcely, if ever, set foot before. What, you may well wonder, prompted the Amsterdam seamen to set sail to the north, risking death in that cruel world of eternal snow and ice? It was a time of rumours and speculations in northern Europe, but not about such things as snowmen sledging along with bells jingling. The stories were all about immensely rich countries in the Far East, countries where gold and silver grew on trees, and the quickest way there was to round Cape North and follow the northern coastline of Muscovia. After a few abortive expeditions, the Amsterdam City Fathers decided to put up a prize for the man who would be the first to find the northern seaway towards the realms of China and Japan. Two skippers, Captain Rijk and Captain van Heemskerk, took up the challenge, and their expeditions set out for the unknown, eager for success and the sizable reward held out for them. So off they went in the year 1596 to remote China and Japan. The great adventure was on, and it would baffle the world. Today, the Dutch National Museum in Amsterdam still keeps some objects recalling the men's grueling experience in that Arctic hell. But I'll turn to that later in the course of this very, very white Christmas. I won't bother you with the names of all the crew members, but for that of one man, Gerrit de Veer, who was probably the ship's second mate. It was de Veer who wrote the now-famous day-by-day account of the journey and the wintering on Nova Zembla. May 18, 1596, the expedition set sail for the North Cape. June 9th, they discover Bear Island. June 19th, they discover Spitsbergen. July 17th, the expedition arrives at Nova Zembla. August 27th, and they're hopelessly locked in the ice. September 17th, they start building a hut to pass the winter on Nova Zembla. For timber, they use trees washed onto the shore along with wood from the ship. The ship's carpenter has died, but most of the men prove excellent craftsmen. They're only a small bunch, and their means of survival are limited, but rarely have so few men displayed so much courage, resourcefulness and persistence in the face of that whitest of all Christmases, the polar night. Finally, the sun sets on Heemskerk, Barents and their men. They've now gone into the hut and cut their provisions into daily rations, and these are strictly adhered to. In their crucial battle against the elements, the men cling together as a team in which there's no place for individual greed. From time to time, they manage to kill a bear. Occasionally, they take a pick at the meat, but they still regard it with suspicion. They prefer the meat of Arctic foxes that are caught playing on the roof of the hut. Absolute dark has settled on the snow-covered plains. The only glimmer of light is provided by the stars when, during clear spells, the men venture out of the hut by the chimney. Groping together inside, they hear the sound of the blizzards tearing at their shelter. They fear the end and anxiously wait for the light to return. Let's read now from the diary of Gerrit de Veer, which he kept by the wavering glow of a wick floating in bear's grease during that winter of 1596.
The 24th of December, being Christmas Eve, it was fair weather. Then we opened the doors again and saw much open water in the sea, for we had heard the sea crack and drive, and although it wasn't day, yet we could see quite far. Towards evening, it blew hard out of the northeast, with great store of snow, so that all the passage that we had made open before was stopped up again. The 25th of December, being Christmas Day, it was foul weather, with a northwest wind, and yet, though it was foul weather, we heard the foxes run over our house, wherewith some of our men said it was an ill sign. And while we sat disputing why it should be an ill sign, some of our men made answer that it was an ill sign because we couldn't take them, to put them in a pot to roast them, for that had been a very good sign for us.
Still, the bad weather continued, and the temperature dropped to a point where the men were at a loss how to protect themselves from freezing to death. They made a huge fire, put on all available clothing and heated tiles to warm their feet as they lay down to sleep in their bunks. But despite all precautions, they woke up in the morning to find the boards of their bunks frozen white. Then they'd look at one another in silent dismay. But soon afterwards, hope would flicker again as they knew that the sun was now at its lowest point and they would see its return before long. Thus it happened that, for a handful of Dutch seamen, locked in the Arctic ice on their impossible voyage to the Far East, Christmas of the year 1596 became a very real Christmas indeed. On that day, they began to look out for the return of the light, the sun, that would again bring warmth to their world. But many days had yet to pass before the men could see the sun, bleak and phantom-like, hovering over the horizon.
On the 4th day of January, it was still foul, stormy weather, with much snow and great cold, the wind southwest, and we were forced to keep in the house. And to know where the wind blew, we thrust a half-pike out the chimney with a little cloth or feather upon it. But as soon as we thrust it out, it was presently frozen, as hard as a piece of wood, and could not go about or stir with the wind. The 5th day of January, it was somewhat still and calm weather. Then we dug our door open again, that we might go out and carry out all the filth that had been made during the time of our being shut in. We made everything handsome and fetched in the wood which we had chopped, and that was about all we did that day. And when we had busied ourselves all day, we remembered it was the eve of the 12th night. Then we prayed our skipper, Heemskerk, that we might be merry that night, and said that we were content to spend some of the wine that night, which we had spared, and which was our share every second day. And so, that night we made merry and drank to the three kings, and therewith we had 2 pounds of meal, whereof we made pancakes fried in oil, and every man a white biscuit, which we sopped in wine. And so, supposing that we were in our own country, and among our friends, it comforted us as well as if we had made a great banquet in our own house.
The men rejoiced in the prospect that the long polar night would now soon be over. Such was Christmas for those seamen wintering on Nova Zembla in the year 1596. A very white Christmas, if ever there was one. At home in Amsterdam, relatives of the missing crew made their way to the church to attend the night service and pray to God from the depths of their sorrow.
Amen.
And the Lord had mercy upon the crew, although he eventually took 5 of their 17 lives. On January 24th, Captain van Heemskerk and chronicler Gerrit de Veer actually see the sun peering over the horizon while they're taking a walk along the beach. They return to the house and tell Barents, the cartographer, who flatly refuses to believe it. It can't be. In his reckoning, the sun will not appear for another 14 days. The clock has long since frozen, but they've been using a sand glass to keep careful track of the time. But Kalle's astronomical almanac, printed in Venice for use between 1589 and 1600, settles the dispute. Another crew member dies. After 3 days, they dig a grave in the snow, and on that memorable 27th of January, all see the sun.
Today, the companions had a sad duty to fulfill. Another comrade, the second to die on the island, has to be buried. When the grave is 7 feet deep, all gather for the funeral and psalm-singing ceremony. Afterwards, they have breakfast, and as they sit discussing the mass of snow piled up on the house, and decide that, in the event of another snowstorm, it will be safest to scramble out by the chimney, the skipper says he will try this at once. Climbing out on top of the house, he sees the sun shining in full luster, and calling out to the men below, invites them to join him and witness it for themselves. They all climb out, and their moods, still heavy over the loss of their companion, turn to rejoicing and thanksgiving.
Death has claimed its toll. The sun rises above the horizon, and hopes are revived of returning home to Amsterdam. During their voyage south, following the Russian coastline in their sailing barges, 3 more lives are lost. Willem Barents dies of exhaustion and scurvy, but he leaves memories of great courage and perseverance, and his name lives on in that of the Barents Sea, still to be found on maps in all the languages of the world. 3 centuries later, on September 7th, 1871, Captain Elling Carlsen of Hammerfest, Norway, discovers Barents Harbour on Nova Zemla. After 2 days, his expedition hits upon the hut which Barents and his men built in the snow. In it, they find the things left behind by the Dutchman, most of them perfectly preserved in the ice. Today, the History Department of the Dutch National Museum in Amsterdam still shows the clock that stopped in Heemskerk and Barents' hut just before the whitest of all their white Christmases began.
Attention, please. Last call for flight KL-47 to Tokyo. All passengers to gate number B5, please.
It's all a cinch nowadays, flying over the Barents Sea in a snug, warm plane. Looking out of the window from your comfortable armchair, you can see the white mountain ranges where, just as in the days of Heemskerk and Barents, the polar bears are hunting their prey, and where a very, very white Christmas reigns all the year round.
And with that story, A Very White Christmas by Neville Gray from Radio Nederland, we've come to the end of this edition of Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. We hope you write us. Next week, our actual Christmas program. We hope you tune in. Until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.